It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, but there's plenty to be afeared of. You know, the one thing that I definitely want to get into a little bit in this hour that kind of dovetails with a lot of the stuff that we do here is our interaction with the man. And the man takes, you know, his manifests himself in various different ways. And one of the ways is, a uniform, a badge, and a gun. And we just talked to Al Ramirez, the liaison with our Phoenix police, and I've been meaning to talk to him, and I wanted to say hey real quick before we did this segment, because this is the offer that I made him. What we had talked about before is inevitable that is coming. We want to preempt any kind of misunderstanding or problem when it takes to the streets here in Phoenix, as in Cairo, and that what each side can expect. Now, when we did the TSA thing at Sky Harbor National Airport here in Phoenix the day before Thanksgiving, now, of course, they came in with their chest out, and you will respect our authority, and we're going to request ID of you and this and that, and you got to talk to us and all that. And then where Nick goes, to determine our sound mind. And he goes, yeah, what if I use my sound mind to not talk to you because I don't have to? You know, then what? So these kind of things are things that need to be discussed. Well, he was willing. He said, yeah, I'll get with my supervisor and we'll get and have a meeting. We'll go and we'll be all good. And I go, no. So I'm talking about it. He goes, well, what? Are you planning a protest? And I go, heck no. Man, I'm for hitting the Lone Prairie, man. I'm out of here. I'm just, I just know what's coming. And I want to avoid some problems. Now, Cop Block is, they're known for, making sure that it gets documented and trying to prevent them from beating the crap out of you. You know, so I'm, wanting to make sure that, Drew and Nick and a lot of my other friends are not beaten into a bloody pulp. And then you get videotape of their blood-soaked club and fist. And, yay. I mean, and that's what? Some kind of advantage? No, you're looking to avoid that. And a lot of this work that we do in Cop Block efforts and videotaping of this is to prevent future problems. So I told Al, I said, no, I'm not looking to have a meeting where we're, we had a meeting, let's have a meeting because we had a meeting. I need something more open, more public, more on record. You know, go down the city hall. They have the policy making, city council. We got elections coming up here in the next few months. It'll be, you have to have your signatures in and stuff, I think by March, May. And then the elections is November. For city council mayor.
Yeah, you can vote at the basketball stadium now.
Really?
I forget his name, but apparently the basketball player is running for mayor.
Is he really?
Steve Nash.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's the word on the street.
No, they said he was running for prime minister in Canada last time, a few months ago. He's going to leave and run. That was a big spoof. Was he just jerking with him or something?
Well, my point is if the people who watch basketball go down to the stadium and vote, then, that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, probably. Now the point is I'm going, look, I want to have an open meeting that is very clearly articulated to those that wish to express themselves because they're going to want to, and that what they can expect, that their obligations are to be peaceful and nonviolent and not be destructive and all that, and what the city of Phoenix is going to do, protect their rights, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know if I can do that, Ernie. I go, I know, but think about it. I could have a meeting and invite you, and you can show or not, and it's going to happen. Ernie, are you planning on a protest? No, No. I didn't even go to the airport. I just knew what was going to happen when they were trying to line you up, put you on the Guantanamo bus. This is my point. In February, there's a report. Now they call it the Pew Review, whatever the heck it is. You know, a financial report that's going to come out on all of the pension funds. A lot of them municipal. A lot of these different, you know, your money market kind of, we promise, pinky swear, your money's here, rainy day kind of, you can get it, it's gone. Okay? They're going to come out. All this is going to be underfunded. All of these municipal employees, all of the cops, the judges, the firemen, everything, done. It's not there. It's gone. And they're going to go to the American people and going to say, you are not going to get your entitlement. You are not going to get your benefit. You are going to be my, so you can afford to pay us, the government. When that comes out and that becomes common knowledge, and they're going to want to enslave us with debt more, there's going to be a response. Then by March, I think a lot of this news is going to cause a big, giant influx of dollars in the United States. Now, Charles and I, you know, author of The Dollar Meltdown, we'll be talking about that tomorrow, too. When this comes, it's going to be major inflation. People are going to be hungry, blah, blah, blah. What's going to happen? How is this going to manifest itself on the streets? So what will be the reaction of the government? They'll start trying to control the water. They'll control what, they'll do whatever they can to try and, you respect their authority. When they press back, there's going to be some guy that's going to douse himself with lighter fluid. There's going to be some guy that's going to sit in the middle of the road, won't move, and the cop car runs over him. There's going to be somebody that gets shot. There's going to be somebody that's something. When that happens, then what? What are the rules? Who's going to, like in Egypt, the military came out and stopped the police from shooting the protesters. Did they side with the people? Not necessarily. They may have gotten the orders, hey man, this is getting out of hand, this is going to get ugly. Well, one thing about, you know, certainly here in Arizona, you got a lot of armed people. And that's one thing that we made clear to them when we did the Obama AR-15 thing. We're going, look, you need us on your side. Oftentimes we're better armed than you are. Are you sure you want to play this game? I don't. I'm leaving, man. I'm out of here. It's how fast can I go? I have no desire to go head-to-head with this when it's going to happen, what's going to happen. But there's no sense in me just sitting on the sidelines and watching people die. Certainly people I care about and love. So that's what we're working on. Now, what I want to do is the rest of the hour, we're going to go ahead and go with Nick Barnett, Andrew Phillips, and Zoe. They create Cop Block, the top of the hour news break here on LRN. And it is, so they're keeping track on a lot of things that's going on. So I want to go ahead and just, let's go to Nick real quick. You know, go ahead and, we got like a minute here. Go ahead and preface some of the things that we'll talk about in the next segment.
With Cop Block, the podcast that I do?
No, everything. Cop Block, you know, because you're seeing the trend of what's happening around the country. Is it getting worse? Is it getting better?
Well, there's definitely some light being shown on it now, and it's all about holding Cop Block is definitely about cops, but it's all about holding everybody accountable, and Cop Block has a special part in keeping the cops and badged goons held accountable. So they're videotaping us when they pull us over with their little dash mounted cameras. So now we're trying to make it so that there's always one of our cameras on them as well.
And they like that?
No.
Now, isn't it illegal now in Chicago?
They changed that recently, and there's a case on it now, but it's a wiretapping thing, and you're not supposed to be filming cops in Chicago. Yeah,
we could talk about that after the break, but there was a peddler who was selling art, and now he's facing 15 years in prison because he videotaped his arrest.
You know, their reactions here in Phoenix have been mixed. They blustered, I don't care, you got a camera, screw you. And then, of course, 4409, okay, we'll see how this goes. So they play it, and then they're kind of changing their attitudes, you know, camera, camera, and they get all nice and everything. I am of the opinion, and it's not often that I've been incorrect, because it's math, and I see what's coming, and it's going to be sooner rather than later, and we need to be prepared for it, and hopefully we can keep it less bloody. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, crank it up here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Yeah, I almost got my voice back. I'll sing later this week. You got that to look forward to, or not.
Yay.
You know, the one thing that I'm looking forward to is we're in an election cycle here in Phoenix, and I sure as heck don't want to do it. But I'm hoping that we can get a good anarchist libertarian running for city of Phoenix, or at least one of the districts. Maybe I can get Barry to do it. And it would be an opportunity for us to be able to just bypass all the crap and have our own events, pass out a lot of stuff, participate in different forums and so on, do our own media, have signs. It's just an opportunity to educate, because I know what the issues are going to be. Because one, we can make them whatever we want. Now, of course, they'll want to make it about, I don't know, marijuana or gay marriage or war or, you know, the city of Phoenix, water of some, you know, but not anything of substance. That's where we come in. And we could do a lot of that. But the thing is that there's, when you do that, there's going to be interactions, because you have the state and the city government, which is billions of dollars here in Phoenix. I mean, it's a big giant money machine. And we're doing the, you know, promote wallet voting, you know, the free parking and the meters. You keep doing that enough, it costs some money. They'll have something to say about it. But it's a good example. But, you know, Cop Block really has an opportunity. They're well known here in the Valley. And even when Pete Iyer and Adam Mueller came by in Marv, Liberty on Tour, they got to meet some of the guys and so on. Now, Adam's in trouble because in New Hampshire, he didn't like the way Pete was being treated by a judge, and he let the judge know what he thought of him, and he said, you know what? Thank you. That's 60 days. So, you know, we'll get more details on that when he gets out or something. We'll talk about that. But, you know, I'm just, what'd you think was going to happen? And you got to be willing to do the time. You want to do the crime. Well, they said it was a crime, so he's doing the time. Now, here in Phoenix, you look at, you know, Drew and Nick, and they're on the front lines in Cop Block being a voice for this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of things you can be a voice for. And I want to, you know, we'll talk about some of the things that's got your attention, but I also want to, you know, what kind of role are you going to play as things start getting bad here in Phoenix?
Well, we do the police accountability report at least once a week, and we just highlight anytime something comes up in Phoenix, I definitely cover it, such as people extorting money, cops extorting money for overtime incentives, or if somebody gets beaten up at a bar by a cop for no reason and I got video on it, it's going on the police accountability report. So we're with LRN running the Cop Block News, we're able to get some more national attention on some really egregious things that are going on in Phoenix. And I intend to continue covering things that happen in Phoenix.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people are taking you guys' lead and starting to videotape their own arrests and so on. But, you know, this has happened in other places like Chicago. They're going, oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. I hadn't come here yet. I'm not sure they want to go that far. But tell us about this one guy that's in trouble for doing that.
Well, I've got an email out to him. I haven't heard back from him. I don't know if he can talk about it yet because he's still going to, you know, it's before trial. But there's a guy, and he was an artist, and he was selling screen-printed patches for a dollar. And he refused to get a peddler's license. He, you know, he didn't want to beg the city to work in, you know, the free market. He wanted to do it on his own, and he knew he was going to get in trouble, so he had a camera. And I'm not quite clear if he wanted to make the point of, I'm going to videotape you while I do it, or I'm going to sell stuff without a license. One or the other, I'm down with both of them. So either way, the guy got arrested. He videotaped it, the whole thing, and when the cops charged him with his, you know, transgressions against the state, they threw in felony wiretapping, which, as many people know, in Illinois, Massachusetts, and Maryland, you can't videotape the cops because they're the king's men and they don't want to be videotaped.
Well, it may be that they have to be informed or get permission or they get to say no or something. They got some kind of rule.
Massachusetts and Maryland are sort of like that. They have some leniency in the law, but Illinois is straight up, you can't videotape the police.
Wow.
And the ACLU, which lots of people don't like. I like the ACLU. I like what they do. They're not good on everything, but they're out there fighting for, you know, some civil liberties. I mean, somebody's got to be
or
doing
contributions.
It. Yeah. But anyhow, so they took this guy's case on, and they go to the Illinois Supreme Court, and they're trying to get it thrown out. But the Illinois Supreme Court says, you have not demonstrated that there's a First Amendment right to videotape.
Well, did they try?
Yeah, they did. They did try. And there's a whole write-up of, you can look at their argument online. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really care. But when you look to a document like the Bill of Rights to prove that you have the rights that you think you do, then you always run into that problem where the Bill of Rights are part of the Constitution, and the Constitution is the government, and the government gets to decide what's constitutional or not. So they're just going to do whatever they want anyhow.
Yeah. Now, see, this is my point. Whenever you go and you play with their football and their field with their rules and their referees and their sportscasters and their stadium, you know, what do you think was going to happen? I always like taking the role of, if I'm going to be in the stadium, I'm either in the audience or I'm the peanut vendor, okay? And I'm just, you know, wearing a clown suit with a rainbow wig and just making fun of the whole thing. Because if you're doing anything else other than that, you're just validating the system. So I can see using this system to point out, you know, just how stupid the system is and how they're using it to abuse us. But if there isn't a voice out there saying, it doesn't matter what these documents say, it doesn't matter. If we as a culture, as individuals, can't come to the realization that any government you're going to have, that's why it's declare your independence, you know, show. Because the Declaration of Independence, this whole beginning of this whole experiment was based on one simple concept. The proper role of government is the defense of individual rights. If it becomes destructive of that, time to alter or abolish. Well, is it becoming destructive? Well, every time you can point that out, then I'm like, oh, more arrows in my quiver. So I can see, that's why I was so, you know, got a bad taste about this Nullify Now event Saturday. It was all about using the machine to oppose the machine. Now, I'm glad some of the people were talking about, you know, just bypassing the machine. And the speakers that would make that kind of point, what were the points they were making? I wasn't there. How did that come out? How did that manifest itself?
Well, I mean, I guess more so the point would be that people took what they wanted from it. So the Tea Party crowd probably that's what they were hearing. I mean, they were saying both. They were saying, you just ignore it. You don't need their stinking permission. And then others were giving specific examples of, you know, like Gary Johnson, for example, would be, vote for me and we can fix this thing. So I think people were drawing what they saw as the solution from it. So it depends on the individual who was there or what they think the best course of action should be.
I heard a lot of good things coming from the people that actually threw the conference, though. I don't think they're down with begging the state for permission any longer.
I didn't get that impression when we interviewed him Friday. And I'm just, you know, does everybody else know that? Well, maybe they do now if they listen to the show. We'll be right back in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time.
Yeah, don't stop me now. We're having a good time here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, with Drew Phillips and Nick Barnett. Now, they got, you know, you get all their goodies over at walletvoting.com. And what's this coin worth? What's the site?
Whatsthiscoinworth.info.
And that's where they have a lot of the information there. Also, they do cop block activism here in Arizona. Now, you know, the one thing after the event Saturday, the 10th Amendment Center put on this Nullify Now thing, you did have an opportunity to talk to the guys, and they're young, you know, they're your age probably, you know, and they're, you know, they see this as an opportunity to go around the country and do what?
You know, share information and share their perspective. And then, you know, and I even asked, because we were talking about Sylvia Allen earlier, kind of the hypocrisy of the state legislator who spoke. And they left a lot of that, it seemed, open for the local activists to invite those people and to make the best judgment calls as to who to have. So they work closely with, like, Campaign for Liberty and the Tea Party groups and with you and with other groups. So they let the event, I think, organize itself somewhat, you know, organically, because they had their speakers they knew were going to be, and they got Gary Johnson, and each of them, Michael Bolden, and all of them got their, you know, 10 minutes of fame. But then, you know, those suggestions were made by people locally that Sylvia Allen should speak and some of the others. So I think, you know, they... It tailored itself nicely. Again, I mean, I can't stand Sylvia Allen. I think that was kind of a smack in the face to us to have her there. But, you know, because we're in the back sitting there, and all of us are, you know, involved with or at least pay attention to camera fraud, and we're going, this is the lady that introduced that bill. I mean, this is so hypocritical. But so I and, you know, talking to them afterwards, they were talking about Austin and how they wanting to bring this tour to Austin. They've been to Texas, I think, the Dallas area. And, you know, they're saying, well, how do we do this where we promote it as an all left event? You know, how do we fill it with, you know, nothing but, you know, because Austin's kind of the weird.
Go
strange.
To Tucson.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That was another thing. They were talking about how it's just recently that the 10th Amendment Center has become a place for conservatives to get together. And prior, like during the George Bush and before, it was all left. It was all lefties wanting to nullify certain things like marijuana laws.
Yeah, but they'll take the money. Because that's really what it comes down to. I was talking to them and so on. They're, hey, man, we're businessmen. You know, hey, we want to get our thing out and talk to whatever, and they want to put forth the effort in marketing and, these guys, whatever.
And, you know, I forget his name. John Bush's radio partner. I feel terrible. Great guy.
Jason, I think.
Yes, and they were hustling. Me and Nick noticed that. I mean, they were working men. They were passing out their radio show CDs as people were going in, and please come buy our book and support our. I mean, and they were, you know, putting flyers on every chair of the seat. And I go, oh, yeah, I should ask Ernie to pay me to do that, but you know, but they were working. I mean, they were out promoting their thing and their, you know, the free society that they're trying to advocate for, and so. And that's what these events are. I mean, that's what Nick and I were there, and Tom, we were working and, you know, trying to.
Did you get rid of all the DVDs that we had on the table?
Oh, no, because you kidding? Tom did like hundreds of them, and we didn't get rid of all of them. But we gave a bunch of them out and so on.
You know, the first I heard of this event, I can't remember who. I think John Bush was one of the first ones to contact me. And he said, yeah, Ernie, we're this and that and so on. We need to get you guys involved in Phoenix. We're doing this Nullify Whatever 10th Amendment thing. And I know what the 10th Amendment issue is. I've gone through this in the 90s. It was a big thing that they did out of Colorado and the state legislature. I think even Karen Johnson was involved in a lot of this stuff. So I'm going, yeah. It's still more of, you know, use the system. And I'm going, I really don't have any interest. I mean, I'll let you guys put a banner ad up. I'll promote it, or we'll go get a table. We'll do whatever. But I'm just, you know, I don't feel like participating, really. I got other stuff to do. I'm busy.
Plus, yeah, but then when it came to it, you had them all on and you came down.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, I'll give them the spiel, you know. But I showed up, set it up for you guys, and I left. I got a life, man, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, but before I heard your show on Friday, and you called me like the week before, you're like, I need somebody to help on the booth. And I was like, at a 10th Amendment thing?
Yeah.
Come on, Ernie.
Well, no, but that's the point you're making is it had a more mainstream Republican feel to it. That was the audience, and that's who they drew in, and of course all of us crazy anarchists. But it was put on by some hardcore.
Well,
anarchists.
See, that's what made me feel better when I had talked to Bryce and then Michael on Thursday and Friday.
And that is
now in the studio. I had Stuart Rhodes sitting where you are, and I had Michael over there where Nick is, and we're going at it. Now, of course, Stuart Rhodes, the Oath Keepers, he's like, oh yeah, the Constitution, this and that, and Ron Paul and Congress. And Michael's kind of like, I've never voted. I mean, you know, so it's I go, okay, I feel a little better that we're, you know, this kind of, you know, voluntarist, nonist, I don't want to have anything to do with, you know.
Well,
how do you
get Republicans over? How do you get, you know, how do you,
you don't get... I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, I'm telling you, these people that were in that audience, I recognize probably 80% of those people. and they are the same for the past 15 years. Okay. They go to these meetings, and they blah, 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 blah,
blah. I'm sorry. How do you convince the people on the internet watching Tom's video of the event? That's what I'm saying, is by them having this conference, somebody in that crowd is going to go, oh, you know what? I reject this Republican Restore the Constitution.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. So
you can never, it's like anything you promote. You can never really quantify the benefit and the net outcome of what it was. But
well, no, I'm glad you guys were there because
glad they gave us an opportunity to be there we got to pimp the silver.
It's more than that. I tell you what it was like. It's like Bill of Rights Day, which was December 15th. You had Gary Johnson spoke there, too. You had Bob Levy from Cato. You had, other people. Then you had legislators coming. Russell Pierce and so on were there. And all of a sudden, you get people cheering for getting out of Afghanistan and Iraq, people cheering for ending the drug war, people cheering for, liberalizing the gun laws and screw the government, the debt and all this other stuff. And all these politicals are sitting there going, I'm not in Kansas anymore.
And here's the point. Russell Pierce was rumored to be coming to the event on Saturday.
Hell no.
And he didn't.
No.
Why? Because the same thing of the Bill of Rights Day, he would have looked way out of place. He'd have felt out of place. Shelton would have probably gone off on him in camera, too. So, but isn't that a win for us? That these legislators can't come to our events or these events and come and lie to us and tell us that they're going to save us and do good things and... isn't that a benefit? Isn't that a victory?
I think that's one of the main benefits out of this thing is I think they realize now that they have no credibility.
Sylvia came and got an earful. I mean, so she may think twice.
They can't lie to us.
It would have been great if Russell Pierce would have been there. Him introducing blatantly unconstitutional legislation to change or to deny citizenship to people that are born here to illegal immigrant parents.
The other reason he probably didn't show up was because they pulled out a recall petition on him the day before. That might have something to do with it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, they did a recall petition on Russell Pierce. I tell you, there's a problem with some libertarians, that are involved in that thing did it Friday. Well, today, the Democrats are going to do it, and they're all pissed off.
And sometime this week, I'm going to take Tom down to Mesa, and I'm going to get him to carry both petitions, the Democrat and the Republican, and get some video of him going, door to door at the supermarket saying, oh, no, you got to sign both, because the Republicans and the Democrats are fighting over who gets to recall him first.
That's good.
Because it's childish that they're fighting with each other. So, I don't even care to participate in the petition process anyway, but it'd be fun to illustrate how there's two of them, and they're, it's their own egos that they're, fighting against for who gets to...
Well, one
Russell.
Of the other things that was there, the Campaign for Liberty had a 11x17, so it's like a 8.5x11 folded 4-page little newsletter. And what was in that newsletter was talking about Russell Pierce's support of this job bills thing. So the Campaign for Liberty came out against this thing because it's like the Transportation Authority, New York Transportation Authority or Tennessee Valley Authority, it's authority without limit. A budget. It's just if they can bond it and sell the bonds and they'll guarantee with the taxpayers' money, then they can spend it. That's what this whole thing was about. And it's coming out and Russell is right behind this thing and it's Goldman Sachs is what it is because it's all about the selling of the bonds. That's what's going on. So Campaign for Liberty had this information out there and if he'd showed up, he might not come out smelling too good on this one. So yeah, it's all a tapestry. I'm just glad that the message of none is at least an option, because it's going to be that way anyway.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Leave me alone.
Quiet. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the always yakety Drew Phillips and the always quiet and reserved Nick Barnett. But, Drew always makes a good guest, though. Got plenty to talk about. I want to share something with you in the last segment here. I got sent an email by someone that you would know. It doesn't matter who. I maybe didn't want to know you were talking. But what's circulating around the net is this. Let's prepare now to give Ron Paul Revolution 2 a big kickoff. Here's the plan. On the day that Ron Paul announces, let's immediately show the country that he has the support to win. Let's have a national sign and banner day that captures the attention of citizens and the media. In order to accomplish this, we must prepare now. Blah, 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 blah. And it goes through, you know, kind of trying to organize what happened before that was totally unorganized. The point that I keep trying to make over and over and over during the Lovelution, travel around the country, and the point that I was making, the reason it was successful was because it was not organized. This is lost on people. They want to recreate this. My fear is that I don't think they understand what was happening then and what it's evolved into now. That when we first started, one of the criticisms that I got from close friends that, you know, financial supporters, they said, look, Ernie, if we do this and we help with this, are you thinking that maybe we might be feeding into a delusion that politics will be a method by which they can free the country and you vote yourself free? And I said, that's a valid concern. And I went through what I know they're going to go through over the next couple of years. And I think the exact opposite is going to happen. They're going to realize just how broke fundamentally the system is and that there is no political solution. It's going to be a cultural thing. So I was encouraging, you know, everybody just do what they want, however it manifests itself, didn't care. Well, now that that movement, the people in the streets in Cairo kind of thing, they want to collectivize it. They want to bring it together. They want it to be represented by someone. We need to, hell, we'll even have the Islamic Brotherhood be, you know, the head guy as long as we got somebody to deal with. Because they don't understand how to deal with millions of freed minds that just say, never mind. I don't need anybody to represent me. I'm good. So now they're going to want to try and resurrect the Lovelution in such a way that can be controlled when it was never controllable. When they went to the Campaign for Liberty, that was an effort to take the Lovelution and these independent anarchists, kind of whatever, I don't even know if they even voted, to go over and be controlled and directed. Power to the people, you know, they can do whatever they want. And I'm telling you, they're going to do whatever they want. So I want to ask these young Lovelutionaries here, Nick and Drew, how do you think this is going to manifest itself? You know, because we've got CPAC coming up. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, and I was telling you the break, they just posted, it was one of the Facebook things for Campaign for Liberty, and it said, CPAC is sold out. Wonder who's going to win the straw poll. So it seemed to imply that they happen to know how many tickets got sold under whose banner. But it'll be interesting because, like I said, Gary Johnson's been promoting CPAC pretty hard and trying to get his supporters out there. So, yeah, obviously there's a lot. Everyone's kind of anticipating what the outcome of CPAC will be. But I agree with you. A lot of people, they didn't learn that through the Ron Paul Revolution and through the campaign, they didn't learn that the government process or the electoral process was going to save them. They learned that it was so corrupt and screwed up that, watching the examples of Paul being shunned in the media, the examples of the Republican Party antics that went on locally to block people from becoming precinct committeemen and getting involved in the process, all of these were just examples for people to learn that, you know, Paul is the man. I mean, I think we all in this room respect him highly, and he's a very intelligent person, and he's espousing the message of the wrong word. He's disseminating the message of liberty well, but he's working in a broken system, and I wasn't encouraged to continue to participate in that broken system. I was encouraged, and what I learned from it was to get outside and around it.
You know, he and I talked the day before that he pulled out in Texas, and I was of the opinion that, you know, you promise the people that if they supported you, you go through the convention. If they've demonstrated that over and over and over and over and over and over, if you do this, I don't see where you're going to get the same kind of thing in the future. So he was of the mind that you kind of look kind of crazy if you're just tilting against windmills in the system. And I am a Republican congressman, and I do owe allegiance to a party that's put me in, and I got other benefits he's getting appointed to and blah, blah, blah. And he may run for U.S. Senate in Texas. And there's all kinds of I mean, heck, he's a politician. I mean, don't ever think he's not a politician. So I'm going, okay, I understand. I just wanted to, you know, give my perspective. You know, I'm, you know, loyal to the message and, you know, what you've been doing. You're the man. You keep doing what you're doing. So we get along fine, but I had a difference of opinion. If he did this and pulled out before going to the convention, he could not expect the same kind of support now. And I think that's going to manifest itself and for those exact reasons. So, you know, Nick, from your perspective, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I hope he runs just because it's
a good
fun.
Speaking tour.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm of the opinion that it doesn't really matter. I'm so down on government right now that I can't get past my thoughts that they're just going to do whatever they're going to do anyhow because they have demonstrated it time and time again. So I hope he runs, and I hope that there's a bunch of people in the streets. But if I had to tell the truth, I don't think it's going to.
Well, would you be one of those people in the streets?
No, probably not.
Well, the other thing I just want to say real quick was that, you know, I was noticing the Campaign for Liberty table was right next to us, and their little sign-up sheet, email sheet, people were signing without even the Annette prompting them and saying, hey, get on our email list. And what I guess that's the other side of it. You have the common sign during the revolution was Ron Paul cured my apathy. So you have these people that had already disengaged from the system coming into it, and I think they're the ones that saw, okay, I came back into it and it was fun, but no, it's still not for me. But you have the other side of Republicans who were in it and have always been in it and entrenched in this establishment thing. They're now the crowd that are, darn it, that guy was right. You know, they hated Ron Paul. They mocked Ron Paul in the beginning, and now a lot of these conservatives have gone, well, okay, I like Ron Paul. He's okay.
The war.
Well, he'll okay, but his argument.
The war. I'm telling you,
but his
you,
argument
man.
Is going to come even more true now when people see
they
the economic.
Care.
Well, you're right. There's a lot of people with a lot of hate in their hearts out there, but
you know, I saw him there.
Yeah, then they yelled at me for having my "I Love Muslims" bumper sticker. I mean, I understand that element, but when they feel it, when the squeeze comes, I mean, when it really starts getting bad, I think they may change their minds. Simply out of necessity.
They're going to do what they have always done. They're going to look to government to bail them out. They owe them.
Yeah, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is you have both sides, and we'll see where they end up. You know, CPAC will be the test, I guess, and we'll see.
Is it? I mean, why?
No, but why? Because it's. I'm not saying it's the ultimate. I'm just saying it's an indicator. It's something to pay attention to.
But is it really an indicator when they know that they have X number of tickets and they're already saying they're going to win the straw poll?
Okay. Well, no. I mean, it's the same thing. You were talking about how Romney and they bought Iowa and they essentially bust everybody in. That's exactly what Ron Paul's camp is doing. They're encouraging their membership to drive, to come. Greenberg, whatever his name is having a caravan from Pennsylvania where he's going to go see his family. So it's the same thing on both sides. It's not crooked. It's just who has the most support in their political game. I'm not endorsing the system. I'm just pointing
out.
Yeah,
no, but it is a system. And it's not that. I mean, the thing is, you know, it is a disservice to Ron Paul to say how much better he is than all the scumbags in Washington, because that's not that hard, okay?
Right.
But he is, as a man, you know, as an individual, as a quality individual, to be able to have somebody with that kind of power that you can trust, that's a real compliment. I just don't trust anybody with that kind of power. And so I have a lot of criticism. Well, what about like Stuart Rhodes really hammering on me Friday? Well, Ron Paul. I'm going, okay. He's just an exception that proves the rule, you know? So I really have a lot of support and affection. And my wife really does. She has a very, and I trust my wife's instincts. She really loves Ron Paul. And I'm so, that's why I was kind of disappointed about his son Rand kind of fuzzing around on the edges a little bit. We'll see what happens there. But all of this is just a manifestation of what's coming. This is just kind of the debate that's going back and forth. And it's all how many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin that's white hot. I mean, you know, it's all going to implode anyway. How are you going to survive? Breathing in and out. That's what I advocate. All of this is just theater and education to save as many minds as we can, but it's all instructive. We're just getting ready for it getting bad. And hopefully you'll benefit from us talking about it and debating it. Tomorrow will be with Charles Goyette, and we'll get down to the nitty gritty of what we think is going to happen in what order and how fast. I think it's going to be faster than we all think. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.